Doesn't his love make you sing?
Amen, amen.
All right. Then you sing. You feel sing. And you feel like it, yes. He's so good, isn't he? That's God, I mean. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, worship team. It was awesome. I woke up this morning feeling like a real rancher. Yeah, pretty much. Yesterday, we led some of the horses out into the riding arena that we built just to give them some exercise because they're in their winter holding pens, so they don't get run in the fields like they normally do. And so we let three of them out in the big field, and that was great. Then we took the minis, and we have a Shetland pony. His name is Chico. And he stands right about here on me. Sweetest guy you'd ever meet. You know, he'll walk up, he eats out of my hand. Well, they all do. If you have treat, horses are like that. But just very, very, very gentle, sweet thing, right? And so I was just in a fun mood, so I laid on top of him. And that was fine. I had still had my foot in the ground, so I thought, oh, okay, I just got to lay right over him like a sack of sand. And he was fine. He just stood there, and I'm looking at Deb and or Britt, and she's kind of chuckling. So I says, I'm going all the way. Now, you have to understand, normally we have a bridle and reins. You know, bareback is okay, but normally you have bridle. This thing's got nothing on it. Nothing. So I flip my leg over, and I'm just getting into the spot where I'm comfortable, and this thing takes off. And the next thing I know, its hind legs are up in the air. And the next thing I know, I'm... Now I have a finger I cannot move and two sore shoulders. Just thought you'd like to know that. No, there is no video, praise God. And I realized that the only thing that matters, the only thing that counts, the only thing that has value, the only thing that has eternal impact or worth is faith expressing itself through love. Amen? The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Our vision at Grand Valley Christian Center is to be a community of believers that exists to know him and to make him known. A community that brings people to life-changing encounters with the living Savior, Jesus Christ. An encounter like we had this morning, amen? A community where people experience the genuine love of Christ expressed through you and me. A community where relationships are formed and love is expressed in practical ways. A community where people learn to grow and are released to function in their unique gifts and callings. A community where people become, where people can learn and grow and are released to function in their unique gifts and callings. A community of people where people become active in sharing and participating in our corporate vision and mission. A community that reaches out to meet real needs in our cities, and ultimately a community that values people modeling the culture of the kingdom. Amen? We're excited about that, aren't we? That's good. Because this morning, I want to continue to talking about pursuing community. And I'd like us to turn to Luke chapter 8. And we're going to look at verses 40 to 56. This is a true story, and it's the story of Jairus and the woman with the issue of blood. We find the same account in both Matthew and Mark with various different details to give us a fuller picture. But this is an amazing passage of Scripture from which we can learn a lot. In this passage, we see Jesus as the healer. And I declare to you this morning, no disease is greater than the power of Jesus to heal. Amen? There is no disease that is greater than the power of Jesus to heal. We see Jesus as the source of unfailing hope. The report came, your daughter is dead. And Jesus answered, he said, don't be afraid, only believe. Don't be afraid, only believe. And Jairus' only daughter is raised to life. And I declare to you this morning that in the face of absolute hopelessness, we have Jesus. Amen? In the face of absolute hopelessness, we have Jesus. And we see in this passage of scripture that anyone who reaches out to Jesus will not be disappointed. And I tell you again this morning that faith in Jesus does not disappoint. But we're also going to see in Jesus a practical example of how to engage in connections that bring people to life-changing encounters with the living Savior, Jesus Christ. Connections where people can and will experience the genuine love of Christ as expressed through you and me. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, connections that matter. And here's my title, Pursuing Community, Connections That Matter. So Father, I pray, I thank you for your presence here with us. And I pray that you would come and speak to our hearts, speak to our minds, speak to our understanding. Teach us this morning, Lord, as we look at the example of Jesus. And Father, let that example stir in us something fresh and new. Work in us, Holy Spirit, that we are willing to follow in the example of Jesus. And that from our lives, people would experience the genuine love of Christ, and lives would be changed. Father, do that work in us this morning, I pray, for your name's sake. Amen. Luke 8, and I'm going to read verses 40 to 56. Now, when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house, because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. But no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me, and I know that power has gone from me." Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, love that. Might want to underline that in your Bible. Seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." And while Jesus was still speaking, someone from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler, came and said, "Your daughter is dead. Don't bother the teacher anymore." Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid. Just believe. She will be healed." And when he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, and James, and the child's father and mother. Meanwhile, all the people were wailing and mourning for her. "Stop wailing," Jesus said. "She is not dead, but asleep." They laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But he took her by the hand and said, "My child, get up." And her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. Then Jesus told them, "Give her something to eat." Her parents were astonished, but he ordered them not to tell anyone what had happened. Pretty powerful account there, eh? Pretty amazing. So Jesus had been on the east side of the Lake of Galilee, and he'd been traveling to different towns and villages, and he'd been preaching and teaching and demonstrating the kingdom of God. And now he's coming back to the west side, and he gets off the boat, and as Mark records, there's this huge, huge crowd waiting for him. Luke says there was a crowd. They were there to welcome him, and Mark says it was a huge crowd. This crowd had gathered for a common purpose or activity, and that was to see Jesus. You know, I was thinking, in our society, there are all kinds of crowds. There's the work crowd. There's the school crowd. There's the crowd that's associated with the activities of our kids. And there's the church crowd. We have all these different kinds of crowds. I forgot to do something. How are you guys doing this morning? How you doing, Elliot? Fine. How you doing, Rudy? You're okay. How you doing, Don? Good. You guys, how you doing?
How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Thank you, dear. I love my wife. You guys okay this morning? You doing good? Okay. Just wanted to check. See, there's all sorts of crowds. And crowds are drawn together by activities. You know, even the church crowd is drawn together by activities. And you know, that's bad. But here's the thing. It can be easy to think that being part of these crowds, the activity, the programming, is community. But you know what? Crowds are limited because you get rarely beyond the superficial level. People ask, how are you doing? And what did you answer? What did you answer? We're fine, right? That happens just about every time. How are you doing? We're fine. That's what happens in a crowd of people. You know, and no one knows anything about what's really going on in your heart and your mind. And before long, that's the only thing we know. And what's being created is a culture of superficiality, or a culture that's shallow. And so how do we move beyond that? How do we move beyond superficiality? And I'm so glad you asked me that question, because I'm going to answer it for you this morning, or I'm going to try anyway. So I want us to take a bit of a closer look at this account. So Jesus gets off the boat, and there's a huge crowd waiting for him. And a man by the name of Jairus passionately approaches Jesus with an urgent need. His 12-year-old daughter is dying. That's urgent. Amen? And here's a thought. Wherever there's a crowd, there's a need. Ever think about that? Wherever there's a crowd, there's a need. And then I was thinking, so Jairus approaches Jesus with this very urgent need. And I'm thinking about Jesus. He just got off the boat. He's been traveling around, preaching, teaching, demonstrating the kingdom of God. And I'm thinking, after all that traveling, and I don't know about you, but I know what I would want to do. And I would just want to go home, change into my house coat, and relax. You know, when I come home from Pakistan, I get off the plane, the last thing I want is somebody to come up to me. I just want to get in that car. Larry, don't talk to me. Just drive me home. I want to get home. I want to get in my house coat, and I want to relax. I said to Deb the other day, I don't know what's going on with me, but I'm really getting to like my house coat. You too, eh? I could tell by the laughter. We don't know what Jesus' plans may have been, but whatever they were, he allowed them to be interrupted in order to listen to this man, Jairus, pour out his heart. You know, Jesus values people. And this man, his only daughter was dying. She was in critical condition, and the need was urgent. So Jesus goes with him. We see in Mark that Jesus went with Jairus. But the crowds are, and so they go, but the crowds are so huge, we read, they almost crush him. You know, I didn't have a full understanding of what this really was like until I ministered in Pakistan. And when they talk about that, we would minister, and then it would come time to pray for people. And they, you know, we say, who wants prayer? And one or two people may come to the front. There you say, who wants prayer? And you better look out, because there's no room to move. I was down on the floor, and it was time to pray, and people just they crushed you. They press you. There are times where I'm literally, people are pressing me on every side. People are grabbing my hand to have them pray. People are pushing and shoving. It's like the desperation is like that. And if you're walking out and they see you, it's like a crowd gathers and they press you. Like everyone is pressing on you to get a touch. And that's what I'm imagining it was like with Jesus. These people, they just want to get a piece of him. They want to see him. They want to touch him. They're just wanting to see him somehow. They're pressing him. So Jesus is on his way to Jairus. There's this crowd, and they're pressing him. It's hard to move. And in the urgency of the moment of trying to get to Jairus' house, something happens. In the middle of the hustle, the bustle, and the swarm of people, something happens. A woman reaches out and touches Jesus. So here's the situation. You know, Jesus is on urgent business. He's in a hurry. Jairus' only daughter is in critical condition. The crowds are pressing. They almost crush Jesus, trying to get a glimpse of him. And Jesus stops, and he says the most astounding thing. He says, "Who touched me?" Think about it for a minute. He says, "Who touched me?" He's in this crowd. He's in this crowd. Everybody's pushing and shoving, and everybody's reaching out to him and trying to get a piece of him. And Jesus says, he stops and says, "Who touched me? Who touched me?" I go, what on earth? What kind of a question is that? You know, I can just imagine the disciples looking at Jesus and saying, "What, Jesus? What do you mean, who touched me?" And Peter pipes up and says, "Master, everyone is pushing and shoving and trying to get a piece of you." And then here's a really great part about this, if you read on. Everybody denies it. Everybody, "Not me, not me, not me. I didn't touch him." You're all pressing in a minute ago. "Oh, who touched me?" "Not me." You know, it just have to be in my mind to see it, I guess. I find that very, very interesting. Everybody denies it. But Jesus said, "Someone touched me." He says, "I know that power has gone out from me." Another, there is something is going on here. Something is going on. And in the urgency of having to get to his next appointment, in all the busyness, you know, Jesus was alert to what was going on in that moment. You know, he was aware. He was aware of what was happening around him. Someone was reaching out. Someone in desperation at that very moment was reaching out to Jesus. "Power has gone out from me." Then we read, the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed. My, I was thinking about that. Here's the crowd. Pushing and pressing. Everybody. And in the middle of that crowd, someone is reaching out. Jesus was aware, so aware that this woman who also had a pressing need could not go unnoticed. Church, that's community. Seeing that she could not go unnoticed. How many people slip in and slip out and go unnoticed? How many people throughout the day slip in and slip out and go unnoticed? How many people come through the doors of this building, go in and go out, and go unnoticed? She could not go unnoticed. And she was about to experience what I call a connection that mattered. You know, just as an aside, when you reach out to God in faith, you cannot go unnoticed. He will notice you, and he will respond. Amen? That's the God we serve. Amen? Whenever you reach out, you will not go unnoticed. But there's a beautiful picture of the love of Jesus in action here. In the middle of the activity, in the middle of the urgency of his next appointment, Jesus stops, and he talks with her. Not only does he talk with her, he gives her his full attention. Because he was aware of what was happening. He was aware of what was happening in that moment. And I phrase that like he was present. You know, he wasn't anxious to get going. His focus was on her. And she leaves that moment totally and completely free. That's a connection that mattered. That's a connection where she experienced the love of Christ. And I want to tell you, no circumstance, no need is so pressing and important elsewhere that Jesus does not have time to stop for you or for me. His attention and his give you his attention and give you his care. Jesus loves and values people enough to stop and set them free. Amen? You know, in the hum of the crowd, in the urgency of needing to go somewhere, Jesus was aware of what was happening in the moment, and a life was set free. To build a connection that matters, to build a connection where people experience the genuine love of Christ expressed through you and through me, we need to learn to be aware of what I like to call being present in the moment. We need to be aware of what's happening right in the moment we're living in. Not the future, not the past, not where I got to get to, but the moment that I'm living in now. You know, we can be so focused. We can be so focused on where we need to go or what we need to do or who we need to see or where we need to go. Or, you know, we can be so focused on going somewhere. Sometimes it seems like, you know, we're a society that is constantly coming from somewhere and going somewhere else. You know, one of the most common things people tell me, I say, how you doing? Busy. Very busy. Talk to people who retired. Never been so busy in my life, you know. Busy. Coming somewhere, having to go somewhere else. I have no time. Or if you're like me, your thoughts are constantly gone, looking on to the next thing. You know, I'm so bad with that. I have missed so many exits because I'm constantly somewhere else in my mind. Just last week, we were supposed to meet at this flower store to arrange and pay for. Did you hear that? Pay for some flowers for Brittany's wedding. Did you hear that? Pay for. And I had Britt and Mike in the car, and Deb was following because we had stuff in the car, and we couldn't all fit in one vehicle. Anyway, they're talking away, and I'm gone. My mind is not aware of what's going on. And there goes the exit, and Dad says, Britt goes, Dad, weren't you supposed to turn there? I said, where am I? Where, what? Yeah. Mind gone somewhere else. You know, have you ever talked to somebody and you're talking away and you know they haven't heard a word you said? Because they have this like glazed look on their face, or they're looking right over your head. You know? I'm sorry, honey. But life has lots of distractions and it puts lots of demands on us. But the danger is missing the opportunities right in front of us. You know, I wonder if it's possible if we're robbing ourselves of the present. You know, the God moments that exist right here, right now, in the present. You know, the God moments with our kids. Those precious moments in our family, those moments with our husband or wife. With our neighbor, those precious moments, those moments of potential connection when we gather together that can never, ever be recovered again. Those moments where God's power and his love could go from us to someone else and set them free. Because Jesus was aware of what was happening in the moment, a life was set free. To build a connection that matters, you know, be present in the moment. appreciate and value the people around you, the person in front of you, by giving them your attention, being aware of what God is doing. Have you ever thought and just talked with a person and say, you know, giving them your attention and at the same time, God, what are you doing? What's going on? You know, be aware, give them your attention, and be aware of what God is doing, because it sets up opportunities to extend love and freedom. And it sets up an opportunity to create a connection that matters. People can experience the genuine love of Christ expressed through you. I had a situation happen to me just on Friday. I had just written these words. It sets up an opportunity to extend love and freedom. Fridays is my day not to be distracted. Fridays, I close my door, lock my office, and say, Mark, I'm on hunker down. Do not disturb. It's my day I seek. You know, God's been speaking to me, and it's my day just to really start putting stuff together. And what are you saying? What, you know, work on my message and stuff. So I try as much as is possible. I don't want to be disturbed. And all of a sudden, someone comes walking down the sidewalk. Someone I haven't seen for years. And Mark knocks on my door. Were you expecting an appointment? No. And I saw who it was, and I recognized what God was doing. And I allowed myself to be interrupted because I had just written these words. But it was a living, and in that moment, this person who I hadn't seen for so long sat down in my office and just began to weep and weep and weep as they poured out their life to me. And for two and a half hours, I was totally distracted from what I was supposed to be doing, if you know what I mean. But this person encountered the love of Jesus Christ. That's how powerful it can be. You know, I just share that because it just happened as I'm writing this. But to be present, to be aware in the moment, giving of what God is doing in the moment right now. And we can be so busy coming from somewhere, going, having to do somewhere. We can be so busy with life that we miss the now opportunities. To build a connection that matters, be present in the moment. Appreciate and value the people around you, the person in front of you, by giving them your attention and being aware of what God is doing. Because it sets up opportunities to extend love and freedom. And it sets up an opportunity to create a connection that matters, where people can experience the genuine love of Christ expressed through you. Amen? Which brings me to my next point. Listen. Listen. To build a connection that matters, we need to listen. You know, Jesus stopped. And what did he do? He took time to listen. He stopped for Jairus. Here he is. He's ministering. He's busy. There's all kinds of people around. This man comes running at him, falls at his feet. His passion. Jesus stops, and he took the time to listen to this individual. He took the time to listen to his story. He's on his way, and he stopped, and he listened to this woman's story. And this is incredible, because in Mark 5, we have some detail of her story, but I think it's a very condensed version of the story she told, because for 12 years, she struggled with disease. Doctor after doctor, all the while growing worse. And because of her disease, this woman was an outcast. She was an outcast in her society. She was considered unclean. And they treated her like they treated lepers. She was isolated from her family. No friends would, no one would associate with her because of the nature of her disease. 12 years alone. Imagine the emotional baggage that this woman had been carrying on top of her sickness. sick for so long, rejected by society, considered unclean, walking in shame and humiliation all the time. Just think, her self-esteem was probably as low as it could go. And this is the first time in a very long time that she has had anyone's real attention. First time in a long time. And I can just imagine her. Jesus stops and gives her his. I can just imagine her pouring out her heart just in a flood of emotion to Jesus. And he listened. And he listened to every word. Jesus looked at her, giving her his full attention as he listened to her every word. It says here, she told her story. And just by listening to her, Jesus affirmed her. By listening to her, Jesus gave her value. And I want you to see how powerful this is. Just by stopping and listening to her, Jesus affirmed her and gave her value. Remember, she had been rejected. She was outside. She was treated as a leper. But Jesus stopped and listened to her, affirming her and giving her value. And I want you to see how powerful this was. Not only was she healed from her sickness, but Jesus, be healed of your sickness and go in peace. And as I studied that out, that the implication is that not only did she go from that place physically healed, her infirmity healed, but all the emotional baggage that was riding on her was lifted off of her that moment. And she was not just physically healed, but she was emotionally healed as well. Because Jesus, by listening to her, affirmed her and gave her value. Yes, power went out from her, but that's not all. He affirmed her. He valued her. He listened to her. She was healed physically, and she went in peace. All the emotional stuff was lifted off. You know, made me think, sometimes a person just needs to be heard. Amen? Sometimes a person just needs to be heard. And to build a connection that matters, we need to be willing to listen. Because sometimes a person just needs to be heard. Then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So what did Jesus do? It says, so Jesus went with him. You know what? Jesus didn't dismiss Jairus. He responded and went with him. You know, Jesus will never dismiss you, put you off, or ignore you. The third point is to build a connection that matters. Be willing to respond. Be willing to respond. Jesus was aware of what was happening in the crowd. He was present in the moment. He took time to listen. But Jesus responded as well. And as a result, both Jairus and the woman had a life-changing encounter with the living Savior, Jesus Christ. A 12-year-old daughter's life is fully restored. A woman with an incurable disease is healed, and both experience the genuine love of Jesus Christ. Amen? That's how I want to live my life. How about you? Let's build connections that matter by being aware by what's happening in the present moment. Let's take the time to listen, giving people our full attention and listen. And then be willing to respond. Amen? and see the love of God flow through you, that will shape us into a community where people will experience the love of God expressed through you and me, bringing people to life-changing encounters with the living Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? Building a connection that matters. Be aware what's happening in the moment. Take the time to give people your attention. Listen to their story. Just take the time and listen to them, and then be willing to respond. Amen? Simple things, yet powerful. Powerful enough that miracles happen. You know, I was thinking, all of us can't respond to everybody, but all of us can respond to somebody. What would happen? What kind of transformation could take place? I want us to move beyond a culture of superficiality, you know, a shallowness, to a culture that reflects the kingdom of God, a culture that values people. Amen? Be present in the moment. Listen and respond. We have the worship team come back. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In this passage, we still see you, Jesus. I thank you that you are a God who cares. I thank you, Lord, that you are the God when we reach out to you, you will not ignore or dismiss us. I thank you that you are a God who hears us, that you are a God who listens to us, and you are a God who responds to meet the need, Father. I thank you for that. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would work that same thing in our hearts. Father, that you would transform this community from being the place of superficiality to a community that reflects the very culture of the kingdom. That our lives reflect who you are, Jesus. Help us, Holy Spirit, to be aware. Help us, Holy Spirit, to listen. Help us, Holy Spirit, to know how we are to respond. Father, that no one can go unnoticed. I thank you, Father, before you, no one goes unnoticed. Father, that no one goes unnoticed. And your love and your power will flow freely from us to those we touch. And people will see you and have life-changing encounters with you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Just move in our hearts. For Jesus' sake. You say amen to that this morning? Thank you, Lord. I want you all to stand. You know, I have to be honest with you. I struggled with how do I end this? How do I tie this up? What kind of an altar call can I have? And you know what? I still don't know. Because this isn't for me to lay hands on you and it's done. It's for you to go before his presence and say, make me like you. Help me follow your example, Jesus. It's between you and him. So as the worship team closes us up, I want you to just be before him. And if your heart, if you want to respond to what I've talked about, you want to see the power of God move through you like it did through Jesus, then present yourself to him and say, shape me that I would walk in the example that we we've seen in Jesus Christ. Amen. On the other hand, I know there's some people here, if you want prayer, if you want someone to stand with you in prayer, the altar is open and you come. Amen.